We're talking about exceeding faith. Exceeding faith. Exceeding growing faith. We're going to talk about how we're going to get there, how we're going to grow. We don't want to stay babies any longer. So we want to read those three, or at least two scriptures there. And I want to get connected here. I want to go online. All right, I'll go to Romans New 8. Romans chapter 4, it'll be on the screen. Hopefully they'll catch it. You didn't get it yet? Yeah, you got it? All righty. What I titled this message tonight is, what kind of faith do you have? A question. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have little faith? Do you have great faith? Or do you have none at all? What kind of faith do you have? Do you have great faith? Do you have little faith? Or do you have none at all? The Bible gives us a snapshot or a picture, a photograph of different kinds of faith. There's levels of faith and there's kinds of faith in Scripture, and you have to know where you're at. And I think people, understand themselves physically if they're in good shape or bad shape. If you're in excellent shape. If you're Olympic style. You know, if you whatever you are, and if you understand your own physicality, and you understand your intellectual capacity, where you stand. And so let's go and look at Romans chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. We're talking about this right now, and we're going to look some more in the Scripture. And so we see here, and being not weak in faith, Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, notice the term weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. I want you to see, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice the term strong in faith. Giving glory to God. So we see two terms that make reference to the kind of faith people have in this room or in, around in the Christian world. Either you have weak faith tonight, or you have strong faith, or you have none at all. Let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm reading the King James Bible. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He's saying, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth. Notice the term, your faith groweth exceedingly. These were Christians who had growing faith. They were growing aboundingly. They were growing leaps and bounds, in other words. And he also says, he mentions the charity or the love of every one of you all towards each other abounded. In other words, their love was also growing for each other. You know, our love can develop, our love can grow as well, right? So my question tonight for our teaching, and the answer for our teaching, is that you have a choice to have great faith. You have a choice to have small faith or little faith, or you can choose to not have any faith at all about anything in your life. As an introduction, I'd like to say that God has put the same faith, the same measure of faith in each believer. It's all up to us whether we develop our faith, and if ever we develop our faith, we can have either great faith and different levels of faith, or we can choose to not have any faith about different things in life. Because people can run away. They can. One scripture says to in Timothy that people, there's some individuals, they abandon their faith, they shipwreck their faith. They abandon their faith about what they were pursuing because times get tough and people abandon their faith, they walk away from, I've been standing in faith for 5 years and this didn't happen yet, I've been believing God for several months and they, because they didn't get it right now, they gave up. Maybe that's a snapshot or a picture of you in your life and you were on your road in life and you had faith for something and not, all of a sudden, life happens to people and things happen and they abandon their faith. Can you relate to that? How about you that are watching online? You must have the same experience. Some people wait until they run into troubles or have trouble in life before they decide to have faith. And sometimes the trouble is too much for them. And they all of a sudden are in such turmoil, unless they have a miracle, they won't survive. Some people, they don't ever think about developing their faith for healing or finances or whatever. They don't ever practice, they never understand the spirituality about finances or healing, and they just live life thinking they'll never have any trouble. And Jesus talks about these individuals over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about that there are storms in life. And he said, unless you build a foundation for life or life's troubles or answers to life's troubles, you're not going to survive. You will die. You will have shipwreck. You can be in the same church, in the same room, hearing the same message of the same pastor, the same sermon. One guy, they both hear the message, and some people just apply the message to their life And then when troubles come, one person is able to escape the life's trouble and other one get washed away in the storm. And it's you to decide. You can decide that right now, and it's you to decide whether life's trouble will take you away. That's the choice that you make right now. And there's some steps you take in order for you not to be succumbed by life's troubles. Because Jesus said, I believe it's in the 16th chapter of John, verse 33, that every one of us will have trouble in life. He didn't promise that we'll never have trouble. Everyone's going to have trouble. I saw someone there on their Facebook the other day, and I saw something, they said, they've been sober for X number of months. They've been clean and dry, or whatever it is they call it. And they haven't had drugs for a long time, and all of a sudden they said, everything is going wrong for me. Boo-hoo-hoo. hang on, buddy. You're just coming out of the fog, realizing every one of us has the same problems. And there's the same devil. And, Peter, 1 Peter 5 talks about that there's a devil. And he's lurking around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. And he's looking for the weakest one in the room here. He's waiting outside in the parking lot. You're jumping around in service, having a great time worshiping God. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo! And God's so big, and they're wonderful, And then the anointing dissipates, and then they, get outside in the cold. Ooh, it's cold, And the devil is sitting with his clawy hands in the back of your seat telling you, I'm going to get you. And so by the time they get home, they lose all the faith they obtained. The Bible says that the devil comes immediately after the word is sown to steal the word that's in people's hearts. Well, how does he do that? He comes by bringing situations to your mind. Puts it in your mind, and then you abandon it. You choose to think on those evil things. Now, you have a choice tonight. What kind of faith do you have? You can develop, and according to Scripture, you have a choice, and you can be strong or you can be weak. Romans 4:19, let's take a look at that again. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, and being not weak in faith. What does it mean to have weak faith? You know, Abraham is a type of a Christian, a believer. He's our father as well in the faith. God used him. The Bible said that Abraham, he was not weak in faith. What did Abraham do that is considered to be weak faith, and how he avoided to have weak faith? The Bible says he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. That's Abraham. You know, his wife, he lives with his wife, and of course, you all live with somebody. And you know, somebody in your house don't always believe the same way you do. And you have to overcome their unbelief in order for you to stay strong in faith when they're not doing anything to help their own faith. Am I talking to somebody? He says in here, he didn't consider his own body. What God promised him, it defied the laws of science, the laws of nature. He said, you're going to have a son, and yet he couldn't have a son. He was 100 years old. His body wasn't, you know, athletic or young to perform or produce. And he said he didn't consider that. He said what God said and what I am right here physically. And a lot of people right there would quit because their faith, they could have got weak in faith because they considered their body. In other words, they considered their circumstance. He started to consider all his, you know, ability or inability. He looked at that instead of looking at what God said. And you tonight have a choice to have weak faith. You can either look at what God said about you, about your situation, or you can look at what God said about it. When we were in Rhema Bible Training Center, Brother Hagin used to tell us, whenever you have a problem, if you, you know, all, he said, all, he always says, we all going to have problems. If you didn't have problems now, you know, how many people here, you know, if you're older, you find out you had more problems than the younger ones because you live a little bit longer. But if you didn't have any problems, you're going to have some problems. It's just a matter of time before you need new tires. Right? And so here, he didn't consider his own body. I want you to understand here as well, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So either he was believing God about that he's going to have a child. His wife right here is old, and he had to consider whether or not this woman was a dead woman was going to have this baby. Not only had to look at his own life, but he had to consider his wife as well. And what his wife situation's like. All of you have family in life right now that you have to believe God outside of the situations that are coming against you through your family. And you're standing in faith. Are you still here or gone home? So you're still here. So the Bible said he staggered. Not the word staggered is the word for unbelief. It means to waver. The word waver means to be, you know, you're in one day, you're out of the next day. God's for me, and he's not me. I'm healed, I might not be healed. So they're up and down. You know what James, I believe the first chapter says, the man who staggers in faith, he wavers. It's like the wave of the sea. And let that man think he's going to receive anything from the, don't think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Notice that he staggered not at the promise of God. What is the promise of God? The promise of God is God's word. So you have to take God's word for your situation and consider that for your life. Everybody say, I take God's word and consider that for my life. So you have to consider what God's promises say over your situation. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So strong in faith looks at the promises of God. Being strong in faith, you can be strong in faith right now. It doesn't take you 16 tape sessions. It doesn't take you 2 years of going to Rhema Bible Training Center. It doesn't take you to a believer's convention or Rhema camp meeting or anything like that. The Bible says right now you can consider your situation and believe what you see and what you feel and what people say about it, what the experts say, or you can go to the promise of God and consider that for your life and become strong in faith. You don't have to wait 7 months or 2 years to have strong faith. You can consider, you can have faith, strong faith right now. Well, you guys need to get excited about this. I'm going to lose, you know. I don't want to get unbelief and lose my voice. So to stagger means to waver. It means to be in unbelief. It means to doubt God. 2 Thessalonians says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or it's fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So we want to have this exceeding growing faith. You know, these people in Thessalonica were having a lot of trouble in church. People were saying all kinds of stuff. The rapture has come and Jesus is already gone and all the believers are gone. We're left behind. That's what they thought. You know, people say all kinds of things. You know, when Jesus, when it talks about the twinkling of an eye, you know, we're going to all going to hear the trumpet sound. God himself is going to blow the trumpet. And we're going to hear it, but the rest of the world ain't going to hear nothing. They won't hear it. They won't even know what happened. They won't know what happened. We'll be just gone. Jesus won't set foot on this earth until he comes back again. And the second coming. The second coming is not the rapture. And the rapture is not the second coming. And sometimes, you know, remember years ago, I didn't understand all this, and I thought my theology was like, we didn't know it was going to make it a rapture. I mean, if you're saved, you'll make it. Are you born again? Or are you saved? It's the same thing. Praise God. So you can increase. Look at your neighbor and say, you can increase. You know, just as much as you can gain weight, you can increase in faith. Well, it seems like you would relate more to that than anything else. I was telling my cousin Ed there, and my stomach was nice and round. Me and Pastor Klaus, we went out to eat. We tried to go to the Hoyto. They shut down early. 3 o'clock, we tried to take him for lunch, and I know he's hungry. You could hear it, you know, his voice, his stomach. Right? We went to another place and had something to eat. But Klaus is the slowest eater I've ever met. Pastor Ken is the fastest eater. I turn it on and the food is gone. Praise God. Now, he said your faith grows exceedingly. So you can increase in faith. Paul said that to the believers there, that their faith was growing exceedingly. So they advance in faith. If you can advance in faith, you also can decrease in faith. Your faith can become weak at any moment. I said, your faith can be weak at any moment. It could become weak right now Because you're looking at the wrong thing. Because you're looking at the problem more. The more you look at a problem, the bigger it gets. Come on now, preach to me. Get up and start. Come on, that's right, Pastor. Come on, say, that's right, Pastor. Come on, say, that's right, Pastor. Come on. Amen. You know, you talk to the TV all the time, especially when the Leafs are on. Hey? Praise God. Your favorite team is on, and you're talking, look at that guy. Huh? Come on now. Staggering. You know, we all were born again at one time. And we all started off with the same faith. Let's go over here to Romans 12, verse 3. The Bible says that to the church at Rome, he says, "For I say," Paul said, "through the grace given unto me." We were talking about grace last Sunday and Wednesday. We said that grace was given. This grace is the ability of God. You know, we were talking about that today. God gives us all ability supernaturally in our spirit. God injects you with his grace. And you can do things supernaturally that you cannot do on your own. You know, I was thinking about Robbie Ahuja. He makes money just looking and thinking about money. And he'll come to your house and thinks about how he can make money out of it. You know, he can make money. I mean, I know people in here, they make millions of dollars in this church. I know personally people who gave over $1 million last year in the ministry. Not here, but they give lots of money here. But there's people, business people in this church that can just give away money. They said they believe that God put them in church to believe God for money. And thank God we have some of them in here. And all of us are givers too. Amen. So I know if your heart's in the right place, that money will come to you. Amen. Not to consume it on yourself. So he says, I say through the grace given unto me and to every man among you. He just said grace given to me, but grace is given to everybody. Then he says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There's a way to think about yourself concerning faith. He said, the grace is given to you, meaning that you all have been gifted. God has all given us gifts so that we can serve his kingdom. We can serve the church of God. We can serve whatever he wants to do. You know that there's a greater anointing in here tonight than before. There's something happened in the heavenlies. I think they've been praying strong in this place. I think there was a bunch of people praying in that room over there. They come out all glowing and everything. They look like glow sticks. Not to think of some more highly than he ought to think, but notice this, but think soberly. How is that? According to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, the measure of faith. God has given us the measure of faith. The measure, he didn't just give you 10%. He didn't just give over here 5%. He didn't give you 2%. He didn't give over here 50%. No one can say that person has greater faith than me because of this. They used to tell Brother Hagin, "Oh, you can do that because you're a pastor." Paul can do that because he was an apostle. Or he's got greater faith. You know? But we all have the same faith. It's up to you what you're going to do with your faith. Amen. We develop. And so it's up to you right now, at this very moment. So we all begin with the same faith. The American Standard Version Bible says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think, but so to think as he, after the thief of the thief, soberly, according as God dealt a man a measure of faith." You know? I mean, God has dealt everyone, you know, that measure. God is not unjust. He doesn't say, you know, I'm going to give you only 5% over here. This one I'm going to give 20%. So if this one gets sick, he's highly more able to get healed because he's got stronger faith than you. God didn't do that. He gave you the same ability to overcome, to believe his word, just like the same as everybody else. Otherwise, God would be unjust. And you know that God is not unjust. God gives everyone the same measure to start off with in life. We all call that starter faith. Everybody gets a starter. I don't know, if you ever get starter something, whatever it is, you just start out with something. I remember my dad said, the government gave him some starter money. I always want to get a hold of that. Get him started, and he needed to go work, so he got some starter money. Over in Matthew 6:22, the Bible says here that in Matthew 6:22, I'm reading the King James, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. He's saying here the eye, what you focus on in life, really matters. When you look at the right thing, when you look at the right thing about God, your life becomes really brighter. Brighter. After walking with God, things get better. You get to recognize God. You get to trust God more. The longer you walk with God, the more knowledge you have about God and God's word, the stronger you become as a person spiritually. If you lack the word of God, the duller you become spiritually. The more light you have about God's word, about anything, the more light you have, the more light and knowledge you have, the more revelation you have about God and your gifting, the greater your gifting can operate. The better you are at it. Amen. Thank God that we can get better at everything. We naturally see with our eye or eyes. Our eye sees what we focus on. You also have spiritual insight or sight. And you get that through the Word of God. Life looks so much better with the eyeglass of God's faith than with eyes filled with tradition and ideas and philosophies of man. I was at the hospital yesterday, talked to a doctor. Doctor stopped me. I was walking down the hallway. He stopped me. He looked at I must have been looked very distinguished because he stopped me. I must have been shining, and the power of God was just flowing. He stopped me and he looked at my tag there. I proudly wear my volunteer tag. I pretend I'm a doctor. But I'm a doctor. I'm a spiritual doctor. Right? Yeah. So he stopped me, asked me, so he said, he remembered me. We worked out for many years at the gym. I'm stronger than him. about the same age, We talked a little bit, and he mentioned some things. He said, it's good that you're here. He said, that most pastors don't come around here very much. And the doctors in here, he said, the doctors in here need to be honest about people. When they're dying, instead of avoiding things, they should tell them what's wrong with them. He said, I know doctors, they don't tell people what's wrong with them. Now, don't you go and think that your doctor didn't tell you what you're supposed to have. But I'm talking about these people. Maybe I do have cancer tonight, But anyway, we talked about it a little bit, But, it's important what you see, what you look at. It doesn't matter what the report is. I said, it doesn't matter what the report is. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to look at the promise of God? Or are you going to look at what the doctor actually said, that you're going to die just in a few weeks? I mean, we read last night in Bible school about the Jairus. He had a 12-year-old daughter, the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jairus' daughter was at the point of death, it says in that verse of Scripture. Then later on, the Jairus told Jesus, he fell at Jesus' feet and told Jesus that my little daughter is at the point of death. In other words, she's just about to die. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go with you. I'll come home with you. So Jesus would start walking with them, and all of a sudden they were intercepted by a woman who had faith to believe God for her healing. Because she heard Jesus was a healer. And she went to Jesus, and she went among the crowd where she shouldn't have been. Because she was bleeding, and she shouldn't have been there because religious philosophy or whatever teaching says that she shouldn't be there. Otherwise, they'd have to stone her and she would die. Plus, she was a woman. She wasn't supposed to be there. The traditions of the culture was preventing her and the religious ideas. And so she went because she believed that she could get healed. She said, if I can just touch Jesus. This is Mark chapter 5, verse 28. She said she heard about Jesus. What did she hear? She heard about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. I remember Brother Hagin said to us one time, he said, when Jesus Christ appeared to me in a vision, he appeared, I believe, 7 or 8 times. What is it, 7, 8 times? Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus said to him, one of those visions, you know, he said, everywhere I went to preach, he said, this was the first thing I preached, is Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That's what the woman heard, that Jesus was anointed. That's why she said, if I can just touch Jesus' garment, I shall be whole. If you look at the Amplified Bible in verse 28, 29, she said, she kept saying to herself. She decided to have strong faith. Amen? She decided, I'm going to have strong faith. I'm going to believe the Word. I'm not going to believe. This is the finality of my life. I'm going to be free from this blood sickness. I spent all my money on remedies made by man. You know, I just recognize I'm yelling so much. But I'm excited about it, you know. I get excited a little bit, you know. This Ojibwe boy gets excited once in a while. Praise God, amen. It's okay to get excited. I'm going to go home tonight and do a little dancing on my bed. My wife says to me, what are you doing? I'm dancing. I do little dances once in a while. But she doesn't mind. She just doesn't pay attention to me. So anyway, this woman intercepted Jesus. And this guy must have been thinking, you know, hey, Jesus, listen, you're coming to me. My little girl is dying, and this woman over here is taking the time. And I think some of you are like Jairus. You say, come on, Jesus, come on. The time is well spent here. I need that check before today. I mean, it's almost midnight. And I got to pay this, I got to pay that, and I got to go here, and, you know, I've got no time. You know, we talked about that, Pastor Close, about, you know, yeah, just about 5 o'clock, the money comes in. Yeah. Eh? He was telling me a story. He said he's eating with a pastor. They're trying to kill his pastor. He's sitting there eating with this guy, and the pastor gets up, and the bullet comes by. He could feel the, whew, right by his nose. Right? He almost got killed. But an angel pushed him back. I mean, he was on a missions journey. Amen? So, I'm going to consider whether or not I'm going to go to missions. Or not. So, I'm supposed to read all this from Luke chapter 6, verse 26 to 30. In that Bible, it talks about there that Jesus, in verse 30, talks to these people. Let me just read over here. Verse 23, if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. The Amplified says, take no anxious thought. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? In verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. He says, I want you to take notice and look at the birds. And Jesus said, look at those birds over there. He said, for they sow not, neither they reap. They don't go to work in the morning. I see, when I got up in the morning, I don't know whether they're blackbirds or crows or ravens, whatever. I don't know what they are. They walk around my house like this. You know, what they were. It was, you know, and they must be listening to something. So they don't reap. They don't sow. They don't gather into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feeded them. Are you much more better today? He said, look at all those people. They don't even think about it. I'm going to take care of them. Then he goes on, which is, which of you by adding a thought can add one cubit to his stature? You cannot add anything by the way you're thinking about things, you know, anxious thoughts. It's useless. Verse 29, yet I say to you, even as Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed one of these. Well, in verse 28, it says, consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. He's talking about the flowers and everything. They don't do all that. And yet God said, I'm going to take care of them. Solomon wasn't as greater dresser than what he says in there. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Notice he said, O ye of little faith. He's telling those people, his disciples, that they had little faith. Why was he labeling them little faith? The answer lies within those scripture verses that say, consider not. Do not take anxious thoughts. When you start considering your life more than what God says, when you start worrying and considering all those things, put those into consideration, then you are operating in little faith. You know, that's what it says on there. Jesus, look at it. When you begin to put things first, then he goes on to tell them, seek first the kingdom of God. Whatever God says to put first, then all these things that the rest of the world is seeking after, he said, I'm going to add it to you. And that's what you told me today. He said, I don't worry about anything. The money comes in. Around here, when we have trouble when we have financial situations, we sit around our table, look at each other. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to believe God. I hear Brother Hagin. He was my mentor. He's been my mentor, my father. You know, he said, you know, we used to get along with his elders, and they had great needs. You know, great needs. And they said, you know, this is this, we need this, and they, that, you know, what's going to happen, you know, so-and-so, our biggest giver is gone. What are we going to do? He said, well, we're going to believe God. God's still here. He hadn't moved out. I mean, he's always going to meet your need, isn't he? He's big. He's big enough to fill the world, but he's little enough to be in you. I don't know what that makes sense, but he's big. So what reveals little faith? When a person has little faith, they have a lot of anxiety about everything. They worry about this and that, about all their needs, and God already has provided for us. Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or I shall not need. I will not lack for one thing. The Amplified says that he'll protect me. Woohoo! Yes, amen. He'll protect me from the flu. Amen? He'll feed me whatever I need food. Praise God. Somebody's going to feed me if I don't have anything. Amen? He'll protect me. He'll lead me wherever I need to go. He's going to lead me by His Holy Spirit. If you read the rest of the chapter of that 23rd verse, you'll see in there, well, you see a lot of things, but you see in there that God takes care of everything. He takes care of everything. And so you can read Psalm 23 tonight and say, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack a thing. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't lack one thing. I will never miss out. I'll never run out. I'm not afraid of lack. Woohoo! Woohoo! Amen. I mean, it feels good just to say that. I mean, just to go and yell a little bit. I mean, if it was not even spiritually beneficial, it's good for you psychologically. Some of you just need to go home and yell. Right? Just go ahead and yell. I mean, you know, even in church, you know, if you yell like my friend over here, I hire him. I pay him for an each hour that he's here to yell for me every once in a while. I said, my church doesn't yell, so would you please yell for me? He said, Bill, I'll yell for you. Right? Yeah. I said, the check is coming when Jesus comes. So the beginning of any anxiety is the beginning when you have no faith. Because you can't have anxiety, you can't be full of anxiety, full of worry, full of concern, and be in faith. It's your choice tonight to have great faith, little faith, or no faith at all. I submit to you, Your Honor. This is my, for these people here, and I believe that all of them are not guilty. My clients are not guilty. Jesus is our great shepherd. So you can't be in faith and be in a state of anxiety at the same time. You decide whether or not you will be in anxiety or be full of faith. It's your choice. It's your choice tonight, right now. So don't be anxious about anything. Luke 6:31 says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? When you start talking unbelief, when you talk about, what about this? What am I, you know, I'm the only one. I have all these troubles. You know, God doesn't, you know, what's going on? I'm sick. I have this. I have that. When you go on all that all the time, then you can tell that you're full of anxiety. You're not in faith. And Jesus said, stop it, because it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do you any good. God knows all you need. Luke 6:32, at the end of that verse there, Luke 6:32 says that, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Luke 6:32, New Living Translation says, He already knows. He's not in shock when you run out of stuff. He's not in shock when you get attacked by the enemy. You need to begin to focus on the Word of God. Focus on the Bible. And say what He says. You know, God tested Abraham. You remember Abraham? Father Abraham. We have a little song called Father Abraham. Every once in a while I get Pastor Ken, sing it for me. So he sings it out and acts it out for me. Every time I need him, he said, Father Abraham. And he goes on. Then he goes on. He's got a new version. It's a rap version. Let me just read this very quickly. Can you go to Genesis 22? Let me just read this really quickly for you. This is a New Living Translation. Because God already knows whatever trouble you have, you know, you've got troubles. And you're going to have more troubles. Okay? But God knows all of them. He already knows them. So if you trust Him before, if you make a decision to trust Him now, that's why the Bible says in the Psalms, He talks about it there. We're not afraid of bad news. Oh no, we're not. That's what the psalmist said. Check it out. Google it. Or whatever. He said, we're not afraid of bad news. Thank God. Did you find that Genesis 22? I'm going to show you something. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. And go to the land of Moriah. This young man, you know, Isaac, that this he believed, remember he believed him? We talked about, you know, Abraham believed. We started out with that. Abraham really believed him. He used his faith and God tested him. There are things in your life that God will test you. Do you trust me? Do you love me? He says that take your son that you love so much and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Next morning, Abraham got up early, saddled his donkey, and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day that Abraham journeyed, Abraham looked up and he saw a place in the distance. Verse 5. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servant. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there. And then we'll come right back. Verse 6. So Abraham placed the wood on the burnt offering and Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them walked on together. Verse 7. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father! Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have fire, we have and wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Verse 8. God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering. My son. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. Verse 9, when they arrived at the place where God had told him, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, Abraham picked up the knife and to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Verse 12, don't lay hand on the boy. The angel was stuttering. And the angel said, do not hurt him for I know that you are truly fear God. For you have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Think about this for a moment. Sometimes in your faith walk, you'll be tested to give away what you love the most. If you ever hear an Isaac offering, this is what it talks about. I remember when I was starting out as being a pastor, the Lord told me to give up my pursuit to become a doctor of philosophy in university. So I gave that up. He said to me, don't play hockey anymore. Give up playing hockey. I loved hockey. I played 5 days a week. We traveled all over the place, played hockey, had a great time. I gave it up. And then he told me, don't go to the malls anymore. I want you to stay at home and read the Bible and study. So I didn't do that. And a lot of things that I considered what I loved, I had to shed off. And one day God told me to give my car away. Give your nice sports car away. I loved that car. It was new and nice and shiny. And the Lord said, give it away. Give it away. God was testing me. If God will shed away stuff from you. Things you love. Things that you think is your identity. Things that you think is who you are. God drops it off you, then all of a sudden there's nothing left of you, right? Then he put his anointing on me. I was all alone. There was no Benny Hinn. There was nobody but me and God. I was in my room by myself. And the Spirit of God came upon me, and the anointing came upon me, and the power of God came upon me. Suddenly I realized I could do anything. I wish I had that anointing right now. I mean, it was right there right now, man. I didn't know it was called the gift of faith. God transferred something into me. But God is going to test you. Some of you that you're struggling right now, you're trying to believe for other things, but God is dealing with you. He's dealing with you. And you don't want to give up that. You don't want to give this time. You don't want to give up this money. You don't want to give this stuff. You don't want to give up that. But, you know, there's going to be a day when your time comes when you need faith to move mountains, to move things in your life. And that's why sometimes we have trouble believing God because we put ourselves first rather than God's word. And we need a you know, we need a good licking sometimes. we need a you know. Okay, so let's go. So after that, the angel stuttered. Angel, verse 13, Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Verse 14, Abraham named the place Yahweh Yiri, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that as a proverb on the mountain of the Lord will provide. It is provided. See, God will provide everything for you. Everything. You know, somebody said, if you can see it, you can achieve it. In your heart. You can decide right now, whatever plan you have, whatever dream you have, you can have great faith and believe the word of God. Or you can believe, you can have little faith or none at all. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. We come to the time of this service where we reflect on the things of God, what God has spoken to us. We thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's lift up our hands and thank God. Father, we thank you for what we heard from heaven. We heard your word. We thank you for the word of faith. We thank you that we have great faith. We have faith because we stand on the word of God. We trust your word. We believe your word, that it shall be according to as it is written. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, he said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. When Jesus spoke to those people, he said, let it be according to your word. So God's word and your word in agreement, it shall be done and it shall be provided. In the name of Jesus, everybody say it, I will not worry. I will not be concerned. I'm focused on the right thing. I focus on the word of God. God's word provides all my needs. I believe his word. I believe it now. In Jesus' name. And give a shout offering to the Lord. Come on. Oh, baby, we thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Those of you that are watching online, maybe you haven't had a chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is an opportunity time right now to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you've been away from Jesus, you've been away, and you can ask Jesus to start again wherever you are. You say, Jesus, take me back. I'm coming to you. I repent of my ways, and I'll follow you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank you, Father, and I'll follow you wherever you said to go. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next Sunday. Same time, same place. No, it's not same time. It's 10:30 Sunday morning. God bless you.